Jesus condemned the Pharisees for their failure to obey all the law of Moses. They prided themselves on knowing and keeping selected doctrines and commandments. They excused themselves from the rest. The things that they did not want to believe or do were in their minds liberal, not to be taken literally. It didn't apply to them. The times had changed, or some other excuse. They could find a reason why it was legitimate for them not to believe or to do something that God wanted done or believed. Last week, I also showed you a reading from Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, in which Jesus contrasted the high-mindedness of the Pharisees with the low-mindedness of a tax collector. The Pharisee trusted in himself that he was righteous, and anyone who was not like him, he despised. And Jesus said that the Pharisee was not justified. The tax collector, who admitted his sin and begged for God's mercy, he's the one who went home justified. The Pharisee was not justified because he failed to recognize his own sin, leading him to become arrogant and to have no compassion for other people. Brethren, in our zeal, let us not become Pharisees. In Matthew 16, part of which Caleb just read for us, starting at verse 5, the Bible says this: "Now when disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have taken no bread.' But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, 'O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I speak to you, who did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?' Then," Matthew writes, "they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees." The disciples were thinking of bread for the body. But Jesus used their concern to make them aware of bad bread for the spirit. They were in danger of becoming Pharisees. Men who are outwardly beautiful, but men who are inwardly self-indulgent, and just mean. They were not yet living by faith because they did not fully understand that God was going to take care of them. So that's all they're thinking about is the body. Pharisees do not live by faith. Jesus wanted them to know that He would take care of their bodies and they needed to take care of their spirits. Is God able to supply what we need? He wanted them to watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees, which Matthew says they finally got the connection. He's talking about their teaching, the doctrine of the Pharisees, which is like leaven. It takes just a little bit, like yeast, and it'll spread throughout, you know, the whole lump of dough or throughout the whole band of the disciples and eventually throughout the whole brotherhood. They had to watch out for it because those who are zealous for their religion have the temptation to become zealous for the traditions of their fathers that eventually accumulate over the centuries, rather than being zealous for the things of God. But the thing is we don't know the difference. We can think that becoming zealous for the traditions of our fathers is the same thing as being zealous for the traditions of God. And they're not necessarily the same. If we have a zeal for God, that is, of course, good. Unless it is without the knowledge of the Scriptures. In Luke 12, Jesus revealed more of the leaven of the Pharisees. It was not just what they taught, but it was something about the way they lived. The way they presented themselves to others. Listen to it now in Luke 12, starting at verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, He began to say to His disciples, first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." For, here's the reason why you need to be careful of it. You don't want to become hypocrites like the Pharisees. The reason is, there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed on the housetops. In most of the passages that I read to you last week and tonight and in a couple more sermons on the Pharisees, Jesus or a gospel writer will be bringing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees to light. Jesus warned not to take in the leaven of the Pharisees. That is, do not become hypocrites. Because what is hidden in your life, what you're trying to hide, will be revealed. And that's what hypocrisy is. Hypocrisy is hiding our true nature. We give people the impression that we're wonderful people. But it is actually hiding our corruption, our meanness, our sin, or whatever it might be. We'll speak of the evil of others, but leave our evil untouched. Oh, we confess that we're sinners, but not like those people over there. Yes, we've done some bad things, but not like that group over there. They deserve our condemnation, whereas we don't. We got ourselves together. Our lives are in control, but I don't think they have theirs in control. Remember, Jesus will reveal our true selves. One of the major problems of the Pharisees is that the Pharisees were fault finders. Let me just read to you several passages from the gospel accounts that will show precisely what they were doing. Listen to this. Mark chapter 3, and I think these are not in your handouts, but I kind of left a little extra spot there so you could write these down if you'd like. Mark 3, verses 1 and 2. Now, in these verses, the Pharisees are not mentioned, but if you want to look at this later, just back up in the context, go back in the story, and you'll see it's the Pharisees that Mark's writing about. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they, and in order to figure out who the they are, you go back up in the text and you'll see it's the Pharisees. So the Pharisees watched him closely. Now notice, they're in the synagogue. What did they do in the synagogue? The same thing we're supposed to be doing here. Two major things. Worshiping God and building each other up. That's what this assembly is for. That's not what they're doing here. They're not assembling to worship God, and they're not there to edify people. They're there to watch Jesus. We need to see if this man's going to slip up because we're ready to nail him. And so they're watching him closely. Whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. Mark 12, verse 13. The Holy Spirit, through Mark, reveals their motive in going to Jesus. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. You know, when someone's speaking publicly, you know, we've all heard someone, they just mess up. They say something wrong, or maybe they'll just they'll prepare most of their speech, but then maybe they'll get off track for a moment, and they get into an area where they didn't prepare, and they slip up. And they were waiting for him to do that. And of course, they couldn't catch him doing it. The next book, Luke, chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 7. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. Look where their minds are, and literally where their eyes are. It's not on God. It's not on His Word. It's not on glorifying God. It's not, how can I help that brother or sister? It's, how can I find that man doing something wrong? Luke 11. Luke 11, 53 and 54. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently. Gentleness, kindness, and patience were not some of their well-known traits. And to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him, and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him. And see, their minds were so set on that, so that although he's speaking the truth and never speaking against Moses, they still thought they found things wrong in what he said. Because they wanted to find things that were wrong. They were fault finders. And they were envious of his popularity. And they were going to shoot him down. Next is Luke 14, verses 1 through 6. Luke 14, 1 through 6. Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. Interesting. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. Now that's an interesting one, so we need to remember that. I got one more, a couple more still to read. Luke 20, verse 20. Luke 20, 20. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous, that they might seize on his words in order to deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. Now, you're still in Luke. Go back to Luke chapter 11. Because what we're going to see happen now in Luke 11 is Jesus will reveal the mind of a fault finder. He'll reveal the mind of a Pharisee. Why is it that a person, anyone, like the Pharisees, has a fault-finding mind? Jesus will reveal the thinking right here. Luke 11, starting at 37. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather, give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees! For you tithe mint, rue, and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. Those or these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. The Pharisees focused on the body and the things of this world, and not with the things that cleanse the soul. They're concerned with what their eyes could see, not the soul. So in other words, they judged by appearance. They were fault finders because they were not spiritual people. A fault finder is not a spiritual person, though it probably seems like he or she is. That person has probably convinced himself that he's spiritual, and has probably convinced others of that. But Jesus said, no. He's focusing on the things of the flesh, of the body, of the world, and not of the spirit. They were fault finders because they focused on small matters and missed the big picture. Their tithing meant rue and all these herbs. How much rosemary do you buy or grow in a season? Now, I like rosemary. I think it's a great herb or spice, whatever it is. You know, I mean, they grow right here on the side of our parking lot. You know those little dividers there? Great stuff. It's a small... How small is rosemary in comparison to your whole life and what you really are or maybe are not? But they focus on that. God said that He wanted a tenth of everything. So I'm going to tithe this herb. See how faithful I am? I'm a sound man. You can't find anything wrong with me. You know that if I am this meticulous, then I must be a man who's very meticulous with my spirit before God. But Jesus said, they passed by. Just like the Levite and the priest in the parable of the Good Samaritan, they passed by justice and the love of God. So tithing, mint, rue, and herbs was sound, and to them, so was ignoring, speaking of, and practicing the love of God. Perhaps to them, the love of God was just a given. Oh, of course we love God. And I'll show it to you by tithing mint. You know, that's one thing, one of the many things I like about living over here, man. This mint grows everywhere. I've told you before, there's a certain part of my yard where I just mow over it and a mint odor comes up. Man, that's lovely. But how big is that mint in comparison to the love that I should be showing you? Should I move to Grants Pass because I can mow my yard and smell mint and forget about the over 100 households we have in this congregation? What would you think if I was like that? I don't think I'd be much of a preacher or much of a Christian. Well, what about all of us? It's not just me. But that's how they were. Let's talk about mint, but let's not talk about showing God's love to people. They could attack. They could go on the attack for a song, perhaps, that was inappropriate. But they had no time for helping people. Remember, they were watching to see if He would heal on the Sabbath, if He would help somebody. Jesus is also showing their nature here that they were fault finders because they wanted to be recognized. They wanted the best seats. They wanted greetings. They wanted recognition. They were fault finders because they were full of decaying flesh and rotten bones and did not want others to see it. So they covered up their true selves by pointing out your faults. If we can get the attention on you as far as people having faults, then you're not going to see what I'm all about. We'll get people together to talk about you and your problems and not mine. Because yours are bigger anyways than mine. I'm dealing with mine and you're not. Now, interestingly, remember I told you there was something different there about the reading in Luke 14? There were times that the Pharisees remained silent. Jesus asked a question, and Luke said that they were silent. Perhaps they were hoping that Jesus would entrap Himself. They, I'm sure, had grown at least somewhat wiser, knowing that He could answer them, but that they could not answer Him. They'd had enough experiences with Him. Truly, a Pharisee would have rescued an animal, conducted his business on the Sabbath, but would not allow a much greater work, something spiritual in nature. or something to help a person to be done. They were fault finders because, I think as Jesus is showing here, they were not aware of their own sin. Listen to a fault finder. Maybe we might have to listen to ourselves. Do I come across, or does the fault finder come across as he's got everything in line and he's never done anything wrong? And the one he's picking apart is the one who has done things wrong? Yes, they could acknowledge their sins, but again, theirs were under control and they were not a threat to Israel. However, the other guy, now he's got a problem. And you know, it's really hard to accept that there are brethren who are like this. But listen, the Pharisees were the Jewish brothers of Jesus. Nevertheless, their hatred of him and works against him surpassed what they did against and had against the Romans. The Pharisees were religious people along with Jesus, members of the church, so to speak, right along with him. And yet they were cruel and spiteful, priding themselves that they were just protecting Israel, keeping the nation pure. The last major point I want to give to you. The Pharisees were unforgiving. Do you know why or what prompted Jesus to give the parable about the shepherd leaving the 99 sheep and going after the one that was lost? And then right after that, he gave another parable about a woman who swept her house looking for the one coin out of 10 that was lost. And then right when he was done with that one, he gave another parable, the parable of the prodigal son, one of two sons who went bad and went away. Why did Jesus give those parables? What was he illustrating? All three of those parables are found in Luke 15, verses 4 to 32. Well, that sounds like that's the whole chapter, doesn't it? Except, what was in the first three verses? There's where Luke will tell you what prompted the giving of those three famous parables. Here's what Luke wrote. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, and then there's the first one with the sheep, then the second one with the coins, and the third one with the two sons. And there Jesus was showing, here's something or someone that was lost. And the great effort that's taken to find the person who's lost. And the angels in heaven rejoice, Jesus said, when the lost one is found. When the shepherd comes back with his one lost sheep, you know, he rejoices with his friends. Jesus said, that's just like the angels rejoice in heaven over a sinner who has repented. And the woman who found her lost coin, you know, she gets her friends together and tells them, you know, I found it. And the rejoicing of her friends is like the rejoicing of the angels in heaven when a sinner repents. But then the next one's talking about people. The Pharisees did not associate with such people. In other words, sinners and tax collectors. They did not want to ruin their reputations, and they didn't want Jesus to ruin his. They thought that their religion was for people who already had their lives in order, instead of helping people to get their lives in order. So, in the first two parables, Jesus didn't give a corresponding part to the Pharisees. But in the third one, he did. In the third parable, the parable of the prodigal son, he brought up a certain individual in the parable who represented the Pharisees. Who was he? What did he do? Listen to this, starting at verse 25. After the younger son had come back, now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, oh, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed a commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, couldn't even say my brother, yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. The older brother was resentful that his younger brother had spent time with harlots and wasted his inheritance, and then he's received back. The father accepted his son back fully as a son. And the older brother did not want to be in the same room with his brother. Therefore, the older brother was just going to be a bitter man. And he thought that those in leadership did the wrong thing, accepting him. He would not forgive his brother. The older brother believed that he had never done anything as bad as his younger brother. So he thought that he was in a position to condemn him. He did not like it that the family had received the rebellious brother fully. Brethren, we are zealous for God, and we are zealous for the church, and we are zealous for the truth. Praise God. May that never die down. But we need to be careful that we not become Pharisees. In our quest to do what is right, let us not miss the kingdom of heaven, because that's what happened to the Pharisees. Remember how I started off my sermon last week? I gave you Matthew 5:20, where Jesus said that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Learn from Jesus how to treat people. It takes courage, and you may have to change some of your ways. And that might even upset some of your old family and friends, but you'll be pleasing to God. I know you want to go to heaven. That's why you're here tonight. And I think you want to help other people. And we want to help you too. Can we serve you? Can we pray for you tonight? Is there something we can do? If so, please come forward now as we stand and sing.